So as I said just before I read that passage, we are in Numbers chapters 22 to 25. That's a section within the book. And the story is like this. Israel has come to the plains of Moab. And they're across the Jordan from Jericho. So they're about to go into the land. They're just there. And we saw that Balak, the king of Moab, summons Balaam, who is a curious character, a prophet, but a wicked man, a false prophet, and yet God is forcing him to speak his word. And Balak has called Balaam to curse God's people. And he knows that this method has worked in the past. Lots of times before this has worked, but it's not working today. And that's the point of this account. Balak, how many times have we read this? Balak can speak only what God has said, only what God commands. You can see it in, if you have your Bibles open, in chapter 24, for example, in verse 2, it says that the Spirit of God came upon him. In other words, God, as it were, was compelling him with spiritual power to speak the truth against his very desires and nature. And you can sum up what he says simply. It's in chapter 24, verse 10. I called you to curse my enemies, but look, you have blessed them bountifully these three times, says Balak. And that's what this is telling us, that God, in this context, God blesses his people three times. Three times. And it's a strange thing, because when you read this, as I interrupted the reading to say, King Balak obviously just doesn't get it. He hears him bless, and he says, well, let's try again. Oh, that didn't work. Well, let's go over here and just see the part of them. And let me take you further away. It's almost, there's got to be a way of doing this. Balak doesn't get the message. God has commanded to bless his people. That's it. That's the great message. And what I want to do this morning is just look briefly at really just some of the blessing. It's not all of it. So in our reading, there are three prophecies. If you want to know where they are, they're in chapter 23. We didn't quite read this morning. Chapter 23, verses 8 to 10. Short, three verses. Then in chapter 23 again, verses 19 to 24. And then the last one is in chapter 24, verses 3 to 9. And these are the three prophetic oracles that Balaam is speaking under compulsion of God. And we could just remind ourselves, really, that Balaam was saying these things about 1,400 or so years before Christ. These things were spoken 3,500 years ago. And we're going to look at these words that were spoken all that long time ago. Well, first of all, can I point you to chapter 23 and verses 19 and 20. That's the starting point. Now, in these verses, Numbers 23, 19 to 20, the point is this, that no one and nothing can alter what God has spoken. Nobody can alter what God has spoken. You see, it says this, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Balaam is saying, you understand, don't you, the God of Israel, the God that you're dealing with, he never lies and he will not repent. What is he saying? He will never change what he has said before. He's spoken in the past, that will stand. Now, what is in mind here is what God spoke to Abraham. So about 800 years before, these are rough figures, about 800 years before this, God had spoken to Abraham. And you can read what God said to Abraham in Genesis 12 and particularly 22, those two chapters and parts of those chapters. There we have what God said to Abraham. And you will find there certain what are called precious promises, great promises. And these great promises were put into a covenant which is called an everlasting covenant. And later in the Bible it says, it compares that to a man's will. When a man makes a will and then dies, no one can alter the will. And this is what's true about God's covenant with Abraham. Once he made that covenant, no one can change it. And as it were, to prove it beyond measure, the Lord added an oath to it. It says in 22, he lifted his hand and swore, blessing, I will bless you. In other words, I will surely and abundantly bless you. That's what God had said to Abraham. Blessing, I will bless you. And here is little Balaam and little Balak trying to undo it. And the word is, God is not a man. That cannot be undone. That cannot be changed. And so here we are. We're looking at Israel, their beautiful tents gathered in that plain. And he speaks about the beauty of their camp. And there they are, Israel. And the important thing about Israel is the people of God. And they are the seed of Abraham. That's who they are. They are entitled to that blessing. And no one can undo it. And really, the message here is this. God still remembers. This is the message to Israel. God still remembers what he said. And God is faithful. That's the nature of God. Now, later in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we are reminded of this again and again. We don't often read the book of Lamentations. But listen to these words in Lamentations. Through the Lord's mercies, this is chapter 3, verse 22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Why? He says, because his compassions fail not. In other words, he will never withdraw his compassion and his pity from his people. Why? He says, they are new every morning. And these words, great is your faithfulness. I think we're going to sing that at the end of this service. Great is your faithfulness. The faithfulness of God is a great thing. He is tenacious about his will. And then Jeremiah says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. But you know, not only then in Lamentations, that was 500 years before Christ or something like that. Not only then, but in the time of Christ and for us today, the point is still the same. Paul, writing in Romans 11:29, this great verse, he says, the gifts and calling of God, he's thinking about God's choice of his people, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance or unalterable, unchangeable. And he says to Timothy, he says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. There's a reference there to the oath of God. He cannot break an oath which he has sworn by himself. That's what's going on here. And that's why, I'll go back to the text again, that's why in this oracle, it's verse 23, I just couldn't see it wrong. He says, this is why he says in chapter 23, verse 23, he says, there is no sorcery against Israel, nor any against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. In other words, there is nothing that any devil or any human foe can do to undo the blessing of God upon his people. So that's the first thing that Balaam is being forced to say. No one can alter the mighty word of God to bless his people. It is fixed. They are blessed. Secondly, there is something quite remarkable in verse 21. Verse 21 is staggering. It says there, he, that is God, listen, has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. Now, that is staggering. That statement is absolutely astonishing. It's telling us that when God views his people, he does not see any sin in them. Nothing. And what is so staggering about that is that it's not true. Can I say that? You know it's not true. It wasn't true of Israel, was it? And it's not true of you and me either, is it? It's not true. There is iniquity in Israel, and there is sin and iniquity and guilt in you and in me. We have read, some time ago now, we have read Numbers chapter 13, where God's people rebelled against him. They were rebellious people. As we have traced them through the wilderness, time and time again, we've had the miserable view of their grumbling and complaining hearts. Last week, was it, or the week before, they spoke against God. That's what they did. They spoke against God. And so the reality is, all day long God could see sin in them. And all day long he sees the same about you and me. The reality on the ground is that there's plenty of iniquity in Jacob, and there is in us too. But what God is saying is this: I will not see it. I will not take notice of that. Now, this is vital. We understand this is vital, don't we? Because where there is iniquity, there cannot be blessing. Right? Blessing does not follow iniquity. So, as long as there's sin, as long as there's guilt, the blessing is lost, forfeit. Blessing cannot come to those who are sinful in the sight of God. And the Bible tells us no bones about it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's every one of us here. That's the reality. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I ask the question then, is God pretending? Is this all an act? Is he just, as it were, closing his eyes? I won't see it. Is this a pretense? The reality is there, and God won't see it. What is this? No, nothing like that at all. In these words is the promise of what we would call justification. Justification. One of the great mercies of God towards sinners is that God justifies the ungodly. In other words, he takes a man who is filthy in his sins, most importantly, guilty before the law of God, and he declares him righteous. And the Bible teaches us there's only one way that God can do that and be righteous himself. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The only way that this can be true, God does not observe iniquity in Israel because he has, as it were, taken that iniquity and placed it upon his son and observed it in his son and punished it in his son, and the righteous God will not demand the penalty twice. Sin, as it were, has been blotted out. Sin has been taken away. You see, this is a prophecy of the cross. That's what this is. This is a prediction of Calvary. Balaam is seeing the crucifixion, as it were. He may not know the details, but that's what he's talking about. He can only say that because Christ, from the foundation of the world, had already been appointed to suffer in the stead of his people. All we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we have here the promise of a forgiven people, or the promise of forgiveness. And the point is this: God is righteous to forgive because of the work, the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Romans chapter 3 these words, and most Christians memorize them, don't they? For all have sinned, and fall short of the glory of God. Listen. Being justified freely by his grace, what? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3, 23 and 24. Learn it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by his grace, his mercy, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Later in that same letter, Paul talks about him. He talks about him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. Paul is talking about the saved man. This is the situation with a saved man. He does not work. He does not try to establish, justify himself. No, he does not work, but he believes on him who justifies the ungodly. That's what it is. Okay? So in this strange little oracle of Balaam, we're brought straight to Calvary. The sin-bearing sacrifice of the Lamb of God. That is the way to God. And then thirdly, and I'll be much quicker now, in the same verse, we're in chapter 23, and the rest of verse 21. We have this. This is the third thing. God is with them, and God has given them a king. Listen, the Lord his God is with him. How can a people be defeated? How can a people be cursed when God is with them? Can you imagine that would ever be possible? The amazing thing to be able to say, God is with us. God is with me. I am with him, we are with him. What's it say? The Lord, his God, is with him. And the shout of a king is among them. Now those are strange words too. Because they didn't have a king. There was no, Moses wasn't their king. Joshua wasn't their king. Aaron wasn't their king. They didn't have a king. And yet Balaam sees that they do have a king. And again, well, you may say, oh, I think he's thinking of King David. I don't think so. He's speaking about David's greater son to come. Again, he's thinking of Emmanuel, God with us. His eyes are upon Christ. God has opened the eyes of this wicked man, despite that all, using that man to, as it were, look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says it again in chapter 24. And it's verse 17, I think. Look. He says, in Numbers 24, verse 17, he says, I see him. I see him. Who? He said, but not now. Not now. He's not here yet. I behold him, but not near. It's not going to happen soon. Who is this one? He says, a star shall come out of Jacob. That's a way of referring to the king. And he says, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Again, a king who rules. You know, in the ancient world, kings were absolute authorities in their country. That was it. And the scepter was the symbol of their power. And Balaam here is, as it were, foreseeing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God with us and our King, who will reign forever and ever and ever. He goes on to speak about his dominion and his victory over his enemies. He says he's going to be higher than Agag. Well, Agag was a wicked king, king of the Amalekites, I think. He's a wicked king, Agag. But when he says he'll be higher than Agag, he just says, he really means he'll be so exalted. You won't find a king like him on this earth. And the little prophecies that follow all present the total victory of Christ. That's what it's about. Well, let me come to a close. The teaching in this section is designed to give God's people strong confidence and to teach us to trust in him. Right? The message to us is that his covenant made all those years ago with Abraham will never stop. It will never be suspended or interrupted or broken. Ever. Never, ever. When this creation is wound up and the new heavens and the new earth are brought forward, that new creation is founded upon the covenant which God made with his servant Abraham. Okay? If you are a Christian today, you are within that covenant. Paul says in Galatians that in Christ Jesus, we are sons of Abraham. That's where it is. We can go further than that. You know, we can just say, all this was decreed by God in the councils of eternity. It was all decreed. And that decree will never be revoked. Will never be changed. Can you think of that? That all the plans and purposes of God were settled before he called the light from the darkness and separated the dry land from the sea. God's eternal counsel is fixed. The purpose of his will is unchangeable. And in that will, he has settled blessing upon his people, those who are in Christ. There it is. If you want to stand within the blessings of God, you have to stand in Christ. If you want to be regarded as righteous, You have to turn to him in your sins and confess them and turn from them and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It does say at the end of this section, it says, blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. Of course, ultimately, you know, that comes down to this, isn't it? Blessed is the one who confesses Christ. That's what it is. Blessed is the one who confesses Christ. And so you see, it raises questions for every man when he is considering his eternal destiny, his standing before God. And the question is this: what is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you knelt before him and confessed your sins and owned him as your Lord and King? Where do you stand with Christ? Because where you stand with him is where you stand with God, and where you stand with blessing or cursing. Balaam had had plenty of success in cursing the world. There were lots of people and lots of nations who had tasted the bitterness of Balaam's curse, but he couldn't touch the people that belonged to the Lord. Neither can Satan. In the last great day, when we stand before the judgment seat of God, Satan's mouth will be shut, and it will be shut by the Lord Jesus Christ. He will have nothing to say against those who are in Christ, but he might have plenty to say against those who are not. Everything in life and eternity hangs upon you being in Christ by faith and by repentance. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Make that the very heart of your existence while you have breath. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Amen.